This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Top Stories, the show in which we bring you the top story in the world, years after it happened. Specifically today, well, 15 years after it happened. We're going back to June 2008 in the Bugle archives, and President George W. Bush was very generously gracing Europe with his presence. He did an interview with the Times newspaper, our sister publication at the time, and voiced a regret that maybe some felt didn't quite account for all of his behaviour during 8 years at the White House. Here I am with John Oliver.
President Bush's European vacation news. And President Bush has been in Europe for most of the last week as his presidency approaches its last 6 months. And this is a time for reflection, Andy. It's the same for any of us, when we come to the end of any job we've been involved in, we look back at what we've done, what we leave behind us, how many pens we've stolen. It's just the same for US presidents. You know, for Jimmy Carter, it was 15,000 pens. It's just as well he only had one term. They'd have had to dip into the National Stationery Reserve.
And if any British listeners are wondering why their BBC licence fee keeps going up, it is because John and I did once have a job on a BBC show. All I'm saying is we've never actually had to buy a pen since.
And the Times newspaper interviewed President 43 on Air Force One when, incidentally, he was wearing a flight jacket with his name on and carrying a mug which had POTUS written on it. He was drinking from a President of the United States mug. That might actually seem charming if a different president had done it, or if he'd been a better president. As it is just inexplicably infuriating.
Speaking to the Times on board Air Force One on his way to Ljubljana, the Slovenian capital and three-time winner of Europe's sauciest-sounding city title, Ljubljana, Bush said that he now aims to leave his successor a legacy of international diplomacy for tackling Iran. Now, John, he's done this in three very clever and easy steps. Step one, tie up almost the entire US military into intractable conflicts. Step two, set fire to and then watch a spectacular bonfire of bridges burning between America and any putative allies for a potential non-diplomatic tackle on Iran. And step three, buy an atlas and check just how big Iran is. So, mission accomplished.
In the newspaper, he expressed regret at the rhetoric that is used around the war in Iraq. The rhetoric, Andy. That is his first and his only regret. It seems that this is as close to accountability as we're going to get, so enjoy it while it lasts, because it seems like it's already over. He defended these warmongering claims again from a group of German reporters. And, Andy, when you are defending yourself against charges of warmongering from a group of Germans, you know that you have sashayed over the line. So the rhetoric is his regret, Andy. Bush doesn't regret the gift that he has given the world, merely the wrapping paper he chose to cover it in. He said he regrets moments such as when asked about the insurgents in Iraq, and he said, bring them on, which sounds more like a 12-year-old screaming into his Halo 3 headset than it does the leader of the free world. He was worried about this, and phrases such as wanting Bin Laden dead or alive indicated to people that, and I quote, I was not, you know, a man of peace. And I don't think he need worry too much there, Andy. People have not judged him on those words. They've judged him primarily on his actions, which have transcended words. He's been like a violent Marcel Marceau, communicating to the world through the international language of kaboom. So the epiphany that he has managed to reach in this time, seemingly, is that we're all too stupid to understand what he actually meant through these actions. That is the epiphany he's come to in front of the eyes of the world. To essentially claim that we are too moronic to understand what he meant is brave, Andy. In fact, it's more than that. It's double brave. And to go even further and then to immediately forgive the entire planet for our stupidity is so selfless. It's Christ-like, Andy. In fact, it's more than that. It's double Christ-like.
Well, he's very like Christ in a number of other ways, John. For example, he's been an extremely divisive figure in the Middle East. That's quite like Jesus.
It's true. It all racks up. Now, what he's looking for, really, is that single oratorial sentence which will explain to all of us how fantastic these last 8 years have actually been. A pithy slogan to get us to see his presidency through his eyes. And whilst he singly failed to find that elusive open sesame sentence, surely now is the time. He finally has a deadline. If anything, he's had too long to come up with it so far. There's nothing like a deadline to focus your mind. Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road in 3 weeks, Andy. Don't tell me this administration can't come up with one sentence in almost 10 times as long. And Andy, you know the phrase that if you gave an infinite number of monkeys an infinite number of typewriters, they'd eventually write the complete works of Shakespeare? Well, this Bush administration has 350 monkeys in a room and 7 months to hope they come up with that magical phrase. It's worth rolling the dice. They've got nothing to lose.
Well, my personal experiments with monkeys and typewriters lead me to believe that they're much more likely to write something about a recipe for banana custard.
So, let's look at his legacy now, Andy. I mean, much like we look at the legacy that a horse leaves behind it in its stable after a fibre-based meal. I mean, is the world safer than it was before? I mean, probably not.
I think it's probably 0% safer.
Right. That's right. To put it nicely.
Yeah, let's put
but
it
to be fair, that's not entirely his fault, Andy. We in Britain are not helping. This last week, a serious security breach took place after it emerged that a civil servant mistakenly left some top-secret documents containing the latest intelligence on Al-Qaeda on the seat of a train. And, you know, first off, you really should not be reading that on a train.
Oh, I don't know, John. I disagree with that completely. I think it shows that our civil servants are so committed to fighting terror that they are willing to take their anti-terror work home with them. They're not just going to clock off at 5 o'clock and think, oh, I've done my 8 hours anti-terror work today. I'm going to take this home. And I feel safer, John, knowing that instead of being left in the in-tray for another day, my civil servant is prepared to take his file home with him and bust a terror cell by skim-reading the files whilst watching the football in the background and having a beer.
If I concede that point, what you need to concede is the fact that we all read over each other's shoulders on the train, especially if the person next to you has a newspaper with an interesting-looking story, let alone if they have a document in front of them titled Joint Intelligence Report, Al-Qaeda's Constraints and Vulnerabilities, Top Secret. Also, if you have a document like that on your person, take a cab home. Treat yourself. Bill it to the taxpayer. We'll be happy to pony up if it means that you're not putting our lives in danger.
Well, I think you're being a bit harsh on the guy, John, because let's face it, I mean, we've all done it, haven't we? We've all left top-secret anti-terrorist documents on trains. I mean, only last week I was on a train and I left a newspaper that had details of the trial of the 21st of July bombers in it. And I just hope it didn't fall into the wrong hands.
But this wouldn't be quite so bad, Andy, if it wasn't an isolated incident. A Ministry of Defence laptop was stolen in April from a McDonald's. From a McDonald's, Andy! Do you really feel safer knowing that Britain's finest military agents are spending their lunch times ordering McChicken Mega Meals? Because
well,
I don't.
I do feel safer.
I don't. I don't. I don't feel safer.
I wouldn't want them taking a, you know, Italian-style three-hour lunch. They're busy people. Go to McDonald's, get your lunch in and out of you in 3 minutes. A passenger had spotted this envelope containing the files and gave it to the BBC. And the BBC subsequently handed it to the police. And the BBC apparently actually mistook these papers at first glance for a pitch for a primetime reality TV game show in which ordinary members of the public have to plan and carry out a terror attack in front of a live studio audience and a judging panel featuring top terrorists from the 1980s.
Other news in the war on terror now, and there is great news of a big win for Britain. Sadly, it is against the United States, who are technically on our side. An RAF fighter pilot has won a legal battle with the US Air Force in Afghanistan over the size of his handlebar moustache, which is big, Andy. It is a beauty. It is a beauty.
British military hero Flight Lieutenant Chris Ball, who is on an exchange posting with the US Air Force, was told to trim his moustache.
What?
It is absolutely appalling. He refused.
How dare you, Yanks? How dare you?
Britain stood by him on the grounds that we conquered the world when we had massive moustaches. Our national decline in Britain coincided almost exactly with the time that we started to have second thoughts about industrial-level facial topiary.
Hear, hear. All our power was contained in that facial furniture, Andy. We were like upper lip Samsons.
Well, I cannot.
You should never have shaved it off.
I cannot see, John, how it can be possible as a fighter pilot to have a moustache that is too big. Unless it is so big that it smashes the cockpit window and starts interfering with the aerodynamics of your aircraft. Now, I've never grown a moustache, John. I've been banned from doing so by genetics. But it must make you feel pretty close to invincible to be able to twitch some impressive whiskers before muttering, "Well, well, well, we appear to have a situation. I'm terribly sorry, Fritz, but you're going to have to lose this one, old chap." In fact, I'd go further than this, John. I think there should be a minimum moustache size for all fighter pilots.
Yes, 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 yes.
Navigators can have something a little more refined, kind of Errol Flynn style, but the pilots should be able to bristle their way into combat.
Well, that was 2008. If you want to find out what's happening in the world now in 2023, listen to the latest episode of The Bugle at thebuglepodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.